this is sort of funny. I'm really excited about this series, but the next series is I'm super stoked about because it's just in time for the holidays, and it's called Crazy Makers. And did you ever feel like when you go to like a holiday get together, maybe Christmas, big family, just Thanksgiving thing, that you're just surrounded by crazy makers? Yeah. If you don't feel like you're surrounded by crazy makers, you might be the crazy maker. So, but we're going to be doing that in a couple weeks. I'm super excited. But we're doing a two-part series starting this week called Better Than Happy. And we're talking about our pursuit of happiness and how what God wants for us and what God wants for our lives is actually greater than happiness, right? Like, what would make you happy right now? What would make you happy right now? Some sunshine, maybe? It's been some what? Somebody just say fresh bread? That always makes me happy. That always makes me happy all the time. Yeah, so I went to Old Town this morning, and I got my donut for the week. Yeah, it made me very happy. So there's usually five broad categories that answer falls into when you say, hey, what would make you happy right now? And these five broad categories look like this. Fame, right? So not necessarily fame like J-Lo fame, but fame like just recognition, somebody to notice me, somebody to see me and recognize my talents or my abilities or myself. And so fame is usually one. Wealth. People say, well, if I just made a little bit more money, I would be happy, right? The problem with wealth is you get more and you realize that you need a little bit more than to be happy, a little bit more. I was talking to a psychologist about that one time, and he was telling me about the 20% principle. And he's like, yeah, so let's say I would be happy if I made $60,000, right? That would make me happy. Well, after you've made $60,000 for about 9 months, you then believe that 20% more would make you happy, and then 20% more. And so there's actually a principle in that. And so wealth fails us from making us happy. Beauty, you know what? I know beauty doesn't make you happy. I know from experience. I'm looking at my wife there. I'm waiting for my wife to acknowledge. Okay. Beauty doesn't make you happy. Genius doesn't make you happy. We think that these things, or power, we think that they'll make us happy. And the problem with these things is that these things, fame, wealth, beauty, genius, power, they can lead people to some pretty dark places. And in the end, they are guaranteed to leaving you wanting more, right? And so they don't make you happy. They don't fulfill. Celebrities, you know, sometimes we look at celebrities and we think, oh, they've got it all. They must be happy all the time, right? Like Justin Timberlake must be living on cloud nine, right? He's got gobs of talent and looks and wealth and influence and all those things. He must be happy every day of his life, right? And the truth is, even celebrities have struggled with this. They supposedly have it all. They've at least figured out that these things don't lead to happiness. I found this video. Go ahead and show this video, Michael.
When How I Met Your Mother first went on the air, I ran into an actress that I knew, and she said, are you just, like, so happy all the time?
Why am I unhappy? Okay, so Stephanie Gaga hybrid person. Why are you unhappy? Why is it that you want to quit music?
And I remember thinking, like, oh, that sitcom's coming. Like, that sitcom, it's coming. And when I got it, I mean, I won't say it was a depression, but you kind of go through a disappointment because that fame or that thing didn't satisfy the way you thought it was going to satisfy.
I had bought into the not uncommon notion that when I taste success, when I get over there, then I'll be happy. But the strangest thing happened. As the show got more successful, I got more depressed.
I thought it would be good to be rich and famous. It would be good to be the opposite of this. It would be good to have stuff. It'd be good to have money. It'd be good to be invited to the party. Well, I've been invited. I've been in. We're having this chat in a private Swish members club in East London. It's super cool. There's bare brick walls. Everyone's double good looking. But I've been inside now. I've seen the other side of the looking glass. It ain't fucking worth it. It's not good. It don't feed your soul. I still feel empty inside.
I had everything a man could want, even then. I was a millionaire. I had a beautiful women in my life. I had cars, a house, an incredible, a solid gold career, and a future. And yet, on a daily basis, I wanted to commit suicide.
As a Beatle, we made it. And there was nothing to do. We had money, we had fame, and there was no joy.
The media told me every day, and it's telling you every day, what it is to be successful. So you've got MTV Cribs, you've got billionaires in front of your face, you have these extrinsic, external goals that will say, oh, Tom Shadyac has arrived. He has the right house, the right car, he flies privately. And when I got there, it was empty.
I was successful in the music business, I was successful in modeling, in television, in real estate. So I made all this money and I had all this success. And here I was going, okay, I still don't feel any different.
We are told that if we're beautiful, if we're skinny, if we're successful, famous, if we fit in, if everyone loves us, that we'll be happy. But that's not entirely true.
Interesting, isn't that? Man, even the people that have it all, you know, they realize that it just doesn't make you happy. And here's the thing is we have this idea about happiness in our culture, that happiness is this ideal state of being, that, you know, we're in this pursuit of happiness, right? And what do we say about our kids? I just want them to be happy. Anybody ever say that about your kids, you know? I just want them to be happy. My kids, I tell them no. I look at them and I say, I want them to be righteous. So you boys remember that. And so, you know, but we just say we see happiness as this ideal state of being. The problem with happiness being this ideal state of being is that life is hard. I mean, that's just one of those sort of like facts, is that life is hard. Life is very hard. And if your life isn't hard, then there's something that's wrong. You know, life is just hard, and hard things happen, and difficult things come along, and that's just a fact. And sometimes life can be tragic, and when happiness is the ideal state of being, then all it takes is this first real, you know, blow of reality, and it just knocks happiness right out of us, right? Reality just comes along. Okay, someone dies, you get sick, you lose your job, somebody offends you, somebody hurts you, breaks your heart. And I don't know about you, but when I suffer, you know, I'm not exactly happy, okay? And so we look at Jesus who's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Jesus who has all the fame, all the power, all the wealth, the cattle on 1,000 hills, right? Jesus has it all. There is no higher than Jesus, right? And he suffered. Jesus suffered, okay? And so suffering is just, it's part of life. And not only did Jesus suffer, but Jesus comes along, and what does he do? He invites us into his suffering. So Jesus suffered, he invites us into his suffering, and he says, hey, in the world you're going to have trouble. The world is going to hate you because it hates me. And so how can we take this idea of happiness and go, well, Jesus calls us into suffering, is happiness really this ideal state of being? Is happiness really the ultimate pursuit in life? And so we have to understand that if our ultimate pursuit is happiness, we are inevitably headed for massive disappointment. Massive disappointment, okay? And so I remember as a kid, growing up, I grew up in an environment of alcoholism. I grew up in an environment of drug abuse. I grew up in an environment of lack. I wasn't always happy. I suffered at times. But here's the thing about suffering, and we'll kind of get into this a little bit later in the week. We're not going to really hone in on suffering today. But suffering makes us deeper people, right? Suffering makes us more compassionate people. Suffering makes us understanding people. And so we think that our life should be about avoiding suffering and chasing happiness. But when we do that, we become very shallow people. And so, but God doesn't want that for us. If God's desire for us is to become more and more like Jesus, who suffered the ultimate humiliation, the ultimate suffering, then he wants us to become deeper people, more understanding people. Wisdom, right? Well, I want wisdom, okay? In fact, we just did a whole series on Proverbs, and it says to pursue wisdom more than riches, more than gold, more than fame, that riches is more, that wisdom is more valuable than riches. Wisdom, patience, compassion, Do you know what I have to thank for those things? My suffering, right? Because I've suffered in life, I have grown in wisdom. I have grown in compassion for other people, okay? I've grown in patience because of suffering. And so these things are far more valuable than happiness. And like I said just a minute ago, if we're just always pursuing happiness and we're avoiding suffering, we're going to become very shallow people. And we're not only will we become shallow people, we'll become useless people to a world that needs people in their hurt and in their pain and in their suffering. See y'all tracking with me? This is very important, all right? So maybe you're somebody who you sought happiness in your life, and you've discovered happiness to be a bit fickle, right? Have you ever got up one day and you're just like, man, it's going to be a great day. I am just so happy right now. I'm just in a great mood. I remember I worked for a woman way years and years ago. She owned a print shop, and we used to have to drive around and do like sales calls together. And some mornings we'd get in her car, and she'd be like, you know, turn on the radio and something poppy and something fun, and she'd grab that steering wheel and she'd go, God, I'm in a good mood, right? And after the first bad sales meeting, do you know where her mood went? Right? Okay. And so maybe you've sought happiness and you found that it's fickle. Maybe you've had happiness just knocked out of you. Maybe you're frustrated because happiness always seems to be just out of reach, right? Okay. What does God have to say about these things? And what does God's word have to say about joy, which is so much greater than happiness? We're going to talk about that today. I wish we had like more time because I could do double sermon lengths on these because there's just so much to learn. But let's pray real quick before we open the Word of God. God, we love you so much and we need you. We pray, God, that you would give us a revelation about greater than happiness, a revelation about what you have to say about suffering and joy. Lord, I pray, God, that you would bring transformation to us, that we wouldn't be able to look at your word and remain the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so what we're going to do is we are going to start off by taking a look at the book of Nehemiah, all right? And in this chapter of Israel's history, so I love like the Old Testament because it's this history of Israel. And in this chapter of Israel's history, the Israelites were set free after 70 years of captivity. Okay, so let's just go back real quick. So you have Israel, and they had just been naughty for years and years and years. Not just naughty, they were awful. And God came along and said, look, you've been awful, and even though I've warned you, even though I've loved you, even though I've led you, you've turned your back on me, you've chosen to worship other gods, you've sacrificed children to these other gods, you've just been horrible. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to let another nation, the nation of Babylon, I'm going to let them come in, I'm going to let them destroy Israel, they're going to take you into captivity, and you are going to be prisoners in Babylon for 70 years. That's going to be your punishment. And then when you come out, I'll send you home, and you'll remember me, right? You'll turn back to me. And so Israel had suffered enormous loss. They had very little, and they were released from Babylon to go home to basically a home that's just been completely wrecked, completely destroyed, okay? And they're trying to make a home out of the ruins of Jerusalem, and in the ruins of their home, they found a written copy of the law of Moses, okay? And they decided to read the law out loud to everyone. And when they heard the words of Scripture, they heard the laws of Moses, they started to weep and they started to mourn, okay? Because it was like, if we would have just followed the rules, if we would have just followed what God said, if we would have just followed God's word, none of this would have happened. So they began, not only do they come home to just everything ruined, they come home to like this awakening. Have you ever discovered that you horribly offended somebody and you didn't mean to? Right? Have you ever like discovered that you did something really bad and you just didn't, you know, and then you, oh, okay. So it was like this. It was like this awakening in them to what they'd done, and this conviction had been stirred up, and their home was in ruins. It was like a bleak day, okay? And so they read them aloud, and they started to weep, and they started to mourn. And you won't believe what happened next. So, I love that. A little bit of link bait just to keep you reading. Okay, so Nehemiah says that. So in Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 9 through 12, it says this. Then Nehemiah the governor, Ezra the priest and scribe, And the Levites who were interpreting for the people said to them, "Don't mourn or weep for such a day as this, for today is a sacred day before the Lord your God." For the people had all been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. And Nehemiah continued, "Go and celebrate with a feast of rich foods and sweet drinks, and share gifts of food with people who have nothing prepared. This is a sacred day before our God. Don't be dejected and sad, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." Right? And the Levites, too, quieted the people, telling them, "Hush, don't weep, for this is a sacred day." So the people went away to eat and drink at a festive meal, to share gifts of food, and to celebrate with great joy, because they had heard God's word and understood them. Oh, there's so much in that passage. Go read Nehemiah. It's incredible. It's that Wendy's dad was so blessed by the book of Nehemiah. He actually started a ministry 30 years ago called Nehemiah Ministries, okay? And he worked with prisoners. And Nehemiah is such a powerful book. Go just read it, okay? And if you remember one thing this morning, remember this, please. Joy is greater than happiness because joy makes us stronger. Joy is greater than happiness because joy makes us stronger. You know, happiness doesn't make you stronger, right? Happiness might put you in a good mood or whatever. Happiness might feel good, but listen, joy makes us stronger. Joy is greater than happiness because joy makes us stronger. Like I said before, happiness is just knocked out of us by circumstance. In other words, happiness depends on happenings, right? Happiness depends on happenings in our life, but joy it sticks with us, right? Okay, so happiness gets knocked out of us. We're having a great day, but all of a sudden one of our kids get in trouble at school, okay? Or a relative gets sick, or we're getting a fender bender. You know, our happiness is gone. But see, joy is a conviction, right? And what is conviction? Conviction is this deeply, deeply held belief, right? That's what a conviction is. It's a deeply held belief. So some people have a conviction, right, that good things happen to people who do good things. You know, like that would be like a conviction. Or some people have this conviction that it's just, you know, for nature or for recycling, right? You have a conviction for recycling. I've seen you like recycle in circumstances where I'm like, what is she doing? It's like pulling water bottles out of the trash and taking them home. You know, like just conviction that should be done and everybody should do it, right? So conviction. So joy, though, is a conviction. And it's a deeply held belief that we hold on to. It's deeply rooted in the fact that God is for us. So when we have this deeply held conviction that God is for us, that He loves us, and that God can be trusted, right? Well, then we get joy from that, don't we? That makes us stronger. That makes us people that aren't going to be, you know, aren't going to be tossed around. Our mood or our happiness or whatever isn't going to be tossed around by circumstances, because we have this deeply held conviction that God is for us and that He loves us, and we hold on to that conviction. He can be trusted. They say that like depression, and I'm sure just about everybody here has probably dealt with depression at one time or another in their life, or maybe is dealing with depression. And I know I've been there before. I have been just wrecked by depression before. And I've gone to see a doctor and all those things. I mean, just wrecked by depression. They say depression is not the opposite of happiness, but depression, like the opposite of depression is this lack of vitality. Have you ever felt so depressed and you don't feel like doing anything, right? You don't even feel like doing the things that will make you feel better. Like you have so little vitality when you're depressed, and even though eating something would make you feel better, it just takes too much energy to make something. Like, that's depression. It's the opposite of vitality. And when we lack joy, we lack energy. And when we lack joy, we lack hope that things will get better. And so we need joy, because when we don't have it, okay, we don't have the positive conviction needed to walk in God's purposes for our lives or the lives of people around us. When we lack joy, we can't walk in God's purposes for our lives. And I'll talk about that in just a little bit, because that's just so important. But we can't walk in God's purposes for our lives when we lack joy, because we don't have the vitality. We're just like, I don't have the energy. And so the next thing is this. We have to understand that joy is a choice. There is so much choosing and joy. And that doesn't mean go, yeah, I mean, I think when I say this, don't misunderstand me when I say this, because some of you guys might be going, yeah, okay, whatever. Because, you know, it's not like we go, I choose joy, and we feel great. All right? Yeah, because, first of all, joy isn't necessarily a feeling. But when we have to understand that joy is a choice, and sometimes we have to choose to do the things that will bring us joy. Remember I talked about just a minute ago, when you're depressed and you lack vitality, and you know you'll feel better if you just go get some sunshine and grab something to eat, but you just don't have the vitality to go do it. Sometimes we just need to choose to do those things. This is something that you know, Wendy and I, in counseling people, deal with quite a bit. You know, we're like, hey, how about time in prayer? Are you spending time in prayer? Are you spending time in God's Word? Are you spending time doing the things that will restore you? And they're like, I just don't feel like it. Right? Or we hear, I tried that once, you know. I tried that. I prayed for 5 minutes once, and it didn't do anything for me, you know. We have to understand that joy is a choice. The people of Israel had returned to a ruined home. They were basically released from prison, and the home that they returned to was worse than the prison that they were in. Okay? And so they were in this horrible place, but the leaders told them to do what? Celebrate. Go and celebrate, right? I believe that Christians should be constantly celebrating. We have, more than anybody else in the entire world, we have reason to celebrate, okay? And so, celebrate. Sometimes you have to make the choice to praise God and worship Him even when you're in a crap storm, right? And we've all been in that place. We've all been in some serious crap storms. And sometimes we have to make that choice to celebrate. I will never forget, and I've told you guys this story before, but I walked into work one day. Oh, gosh, what was this, honey? 20 years ago, probably, okay? Walked into work one day, and my boss said, you're boring. No, I'm just kidding. No, the boss said, you're gone. Just get out of here. Your position's being eliminated, whatever. You're done. And I was just, like, devastated because I really enjoyed that job, and I made some nice money and whatever. And we went to church. There was actually our church was having meetings on weekday mornings at that time. And so we went, and somebody came up to me at the meeting, and I was explaining to them how I lost my job. And she goes, hey, here's what you need to do. You need to go home, you need to put on some worship music, and you need to dance in your living room and rejoice. I didn't feel like doing that. I mean, that was like the last thing on my mind. Like, I wanted to scramble and go find another job. I was depressed. I didn't know what to do. You know, I felt sucker punched. You ever have one of those days? You get up, you're feeling great, and all of a sudden, pow, you know. It's like you just sucker punched. That came out of nowhere. You just feel like you got the wind knocked out of you. I didn't feel like going home, putting on worship music, least of all dancing in my living room. That just sounds flaky, you know. But they were like, go home and celebrate. And we did. Right? We did. We put on some music, and we danced, and we celebrated. We praised God right there in the living room, and we're just overcome with joy. And I felt irresponsible for not worrying more at that moment. You ever felt like that before? Like, that would just be irresponsible to have joy in this circumstance. But you know, that's not God. That's not God, because God says the joy of the Lord is your strength. And so when you feel like, oh, that would just be irresponsible to have joy in this moment, don't listen to that voice. Feel free. Have joy. Okay? And so so never let your circumstances dictate whether or not you're going to have joy. Never let your circumstance dictate whether or not you're going to have joy. That's memeable. And so... so never let your circumstances dictate whether or not you're going to have joy. All right? So the next thing is this, and this is right out of Nehemiah. Give away some joy. Give away some joy, and you'll get even more back. Right? Give some away. For some reason, when we don't have joy, have you ever noticed that we don't have joy? Generosity goes away too. Right? Like, I don't have joy. I'm bummed out. I'm going through a rough time. I don't feel like blessing anybody or helping anybody. I don't feel like giving away joy. And so the leaders of Israel, what did they do? They told the people to bring some food to the people who didn't have any, right? They're like, hey, if you see somebody who doesn't have food, if you see somebody who doesn't have like the means to just rejoice and celebrate today, if you see somebody that needs a bottle of wine, right, like bring it to them. Bring joy to somebody else. Because joy is this crazy commodity that it's not like when we give away joy, we have less. Right? Have you ever noticed that? It's like we give away joy, we just fill up with more. So we'll just give away more. We fill up with more. We give away more. Okay? And so give away some joy, even though it's the opposite of how we feel in moments when we need joy. Right? We've all been there. Okay? I'm just bummed out. I'm not doing well or whatever. And we turn inward. And we turn off the generosity, but we need to give away joy. When we're going through hard times, we should be giving away more joy and more joy and more joy despite how we feel, okay? Because what happens is, for a lot of people, they don't give away more. They because their eyes are on themselves, and this is what I'm going through, and I'm going through a hard time, and hey, you know, I don't want to help anybody. I don't want to do anything when we're going through a hard time. And you know what happens then is we get stuck then. We get stuck in a rut. And some people will go for months, will go for years, stuck in that rut of just joylessness because they refuse to give joy to anybody else during that phase in their life. And so if you're going through a hard time, if you're needing joy right now, you need to go bless somebody. Seriously, you need to go bless somebody, okay? Bring a meal to someone, surprise somebody, buy somebody's coffee in line behind you at Starbucks, give somebody a movie ticket, go make somebody's day, and you'll probably discover that it will make your day too, okay? So joy is just that crazy commodity. And the last thing is this, hold on to what God's Word says. Here's, you know, it's so funny because when we go through circumstances where we're lacking joy, we don't have the peace, we don't have the joy in our lives, man, it's almost like we just want to curl up in a ball, right? And we don't want to read God's Word, and we don't want to seek the Lord. But hold on to what God's Word says. Verse 12 says that the people celebrated. Why? Because they heard God's Word and understood them. They celebrated because they heard God's words and understood them, right? Man, get the Bible on CD for Pete's sake. Put it on I don't want to go off on a tangent. Help me, honey. Don't let me do it. But you know, it's like sometimes people, they get into a funk, and what do? They start to listen to dreary, depressing music, right? They get into a funk, and they start to do things that almost like, it's like the old Charlie Brown comic strip where he's listening to a record. I don't know if you guys know what records are. They were things that held music. He's listening to a record, and he says, that song makes me cry every time. Play it again, right? And he plays the song again. And so we get like that when we lack joy, is we actually end up doing things that reinforce our misery, that reinforce the depression. And so we need to hold on to what God's Word says. If you're depressed, just start reading Paul's epistles. Go read Ephesians for Pete's sake. Go read Psalms, okay, and be lifted up out of that. Hold on to what God's Word says. They celebrated because they heard and understood God's Word. Don't start backing off. Here's the thing, you know, like I heard long ago, I was listening to a guy who was doing a lot of research on lions. And what lions like to do is separate the weak one from the herd. The lions like to separate the gazelle that's limping along. And you know what? The devil likes to do that too. Okay? The one that's hurting, the one that's depressed, the one that's going through a rough time likes to go, hey man, you don't want to go to church today. Just, you know what, stay home and just roll over, go back to sleep. It's rainy and foggy out anyway. Right? You know, don't pray today. Get extra sleep because you know what? You're really depressed. Hey, don't get into God's Word. And you know, and he wants to separate us from the herd and from each other and from the people in our lives that will bring joy, that will bring comfort, that will pray with us and pray for us. You know, week after week, it's funny. I'm going to give you guys a little from the eyes of the pastor, okay? Every week I look out and I see somebody who desperately needs prayer and they don't go back to the prayer team to get prayer. Every single week, okay? And so listen, we need to do the things that will bring us joy. We need to be pressing into God and pressing into His Word and pressing into prayer during those times when we lack joy and not isolating ourselves. Don't isolate yourself, okay? Hold on to what God's Word says. When we take hold of what Scripture says about the way God loves us, the way that Jesus gave everything to make us a part of His family, the hope and the promise that we have for our lives, when we understand all that and we pursue all that and we grab hold of all that, it just seems silly to stay miserable. Doesn't it? It just seems silly. We're like the people who won the lottery and are depressed about it, you know? Jesus gave us all. And so His Word says that we're His children. His Word says that we're His friends. His Word says that we've been given great promise. We are free from condemnation. We have eternal life. Read God's Word for yourself and experience joy, okay? It's funny, don't let Sunday morning, don't let the three or four verses that I preach every Sunday be your only spiritual diet, all right? Man, get out there and get in God's Word all week long. You know, it'd be silly if you only ate one meal a week, wouldn't it? Like, if you only had, one meal a week, you would be weak all the time. You might even starve to death. That'd be absolutely silly, okay? Eat a spiritual meal every day. Every day. Get into God's Word, and it will help bring joy into your life, all right? So, read God's Word for yourself. Discover joy. Hold on. Hold on to what His Word says. Hold on to that joy, because the joy makes us stronger. Stronger. Joy makes us stronger. So, let's do something. I'm going to do something really different this morning. This is super different, and I think we've got a little bit of time to do it, so that's cool. Listen, we need to celebrate the way that we see, celebrate and recalibrate the way that we see our circumstances. We need to accept that joy is really a choice, and we need to do what we can to bring joy to others, and we need to start proclaiming and believing what God's Word says about us. I'm going to do something very different this morning. I hadn't planned on this until just a few minutes ago, but I want to break into groups of two and three, okay? And here's what I don't want you to do. I don't want you to spend 5 minutes asking each other how you're doing and getting acquainted and all that stuff, okay? Skip the fellowship till afterwards. So I want to break into groups of two or three, and this is going to be hard for some of you because you don't have any joy. But I want you to break into groups of two or three, and you're going to ask each other two questions. You're going to discuss what we're talking about today. We don't normally do this, but you're going to break into twos and threes, and you're going to discuss. The first question is this: what do I feel is the greatest hindrance to joy in my life right now? What is the greatest hindrance to joy in my life right now? Okay, it could be a circumstance. It could be just even your own choices that you've made, or whatever, or your own attitudes. But what is the greatest hindrance to joy in my life? And then two is, what am I going to do about it? Okay, so what's the first question? Okay, what's the second one? What am I going to do about it? Okay, so go ahead, break into groups of two and three. You may go now. Marvin K. Mooney, you may go now. And just discuss those things right away. Don't sit around and go, how was your day? How was your weekend? Just right away. I want you to talk about those things. Okay? Go ahead. So we're only going to take about 4 minutes to do that. So go ahead and do that. Feeling a sense of resolution, so resoluteness to do the things that bring joy. Yeah? Anybody? Did anybody learn something from that little talk that maybe they just kind of wasn't quite there beforehand? Yeah? Just kind of slip up your hand. Let's see. Just Caitlin. Thank you, Caitlin. All right. Yes. All right, so here's what we're going to do. Why don't you all stand with me, and I just want to pray for you. And I know Wendy had just a quick word to share before we before we wrap up with one more song, but listen, if you need prayer this morning for anything, go back and get prayer. Kathy's back there. Karen's back there. I'll head back there. Gary's back there. And we would just love to pray for you for anything, okay? And so don't miss the opportunity if you need prayer. So, but let's go ahead and pray together. God, we love you so much. And Lord, first of all, I just want to pray real quick for anybody that's just going through suffering this morning. I pray, God, that you would give them the grace to go through their suffering with the eyes of Jesus. Lord, that they would go through that suffering yielded to the work of your Holy Spirit in their life. Lord, if there is something that, some wisdom to be gained, if there's a virtue to be gained, God, through it, I pray, Lord, that they would gain it and grab it and not have to go through other circumstances to learn it again. Lord, I pray that you would bring comfort to them and that you would allow them to sense and feel and know and experience the presence of your Holy Spirit in your in their life as their comforter, as their friend, as their guide. Bring them peace. God, I pray that we would be a joyous people for your glory in Jesus' name.